hour. Right now. Gee, it was right. Them days, if them days we were working for that kind of money, man, I'd know what we would do.
What is this, McKinney?
Yeah.
It's a construction
that's the construction guys back here that are building hut houses, you know. Now, they got boys working there for $20 an hour. My son working there now. And I tell him every day, I get him up every day, even on Saturday. He works Saturday. I have to go to bed enough kind of him because I knew he's just a teenager and now he's like to ride around. He don't drink yet anyway. I told him, Junior, if you're going to drink, if you think you can buy your booze, you're still staying under my roof. But the first bottle you buy, you think that you can handle that booze out through the door because you know you're going to drink. Well, I guess you can be on your own from there on then, I told him. I don't know how many times. I told him that's the way your brother went. That's what I was telling him all the time. But just like I'm scolding him, he used to think, I tell him. But I tell my youngest boy like that every day. Now I'm raising 4 of my grandchildren. Now they're small yet. They're not living on ADC because I don't want ADC. Because when my father died, I didn't have ADC, and I'm raising them. And now my boy, now he's working. I tell him, right from my place, to school here, is just the next door to me. I leave the house 10 minutes to 8 every morning, sometimes maybe 20 minutes. Don't even take me 5 minutes from my place to walk to the school, I tell him, every day. And you look at it, you got to roll back, leave here at least 20 minutes or 15 minutes ahead of the job. So you take your time to get there with motorbike. Don't even have to walk, I told him. I know it. This is your first job you're on, I told him. You got long years ahead of you to make yourself a living. You got to get used to that. Get to work ahead of time. You got to get used to that. How many years I've been working at the school? Maybe all these years. I try to be there ahead of time. I have to leave here maybe 5 minutes to 8 or 10 minutes to 8. I don't leave right at 8 o'clock straight up and down all these years, I told him. No. Because you got to get there, take your time, get there, and then make sure that you got everything what you need. Then you're When you start rushing around, that's when you get hurt, I told him. That's heavy job you guys are doing back there. So if you get there and then you're not nervous, like if you're maybe 5 minutes late, well, the boss think, well, that guy is lazy. Start getting late. That's the way the boss will think, I told him. Don't worry about them other guys. They've been had jobs before and they know what they're doing, I told him. You're just starting. Be there ahead of time. Head up the hour. And that's the way it's got to be all the time, I told him. The boss see you like that before, ahead of time, before the hour, well, they think that guy likes to work. She's always ahead of time, before the hour of the work. You got to do that, I told him. This is his first job. He's trying to make money to go to college now. I told him, if you're going to think of going to school, you got to make your own money. You can't have it so easy, I told him. Well, he's trying now. But the minute I hear you take that drink and you buy the first bottle of booze, there's the door, and you can put a roof over yourself. If you think you can buy that booze, you can make a living for yourself, fine. But not in my room. You got to put a roof over yourself first, I told him. That's the way your brother, he's married, he left 3 kids behind. He had a house, he was working at the school, but he likes to drink all the time. I told him, tell him. But no, I think I scold him, you know. I think I scold him. And what I was trying to tell him for his own good. When my father was raising us, me and my brother and my sister, he tell us that. He say, if you guys get married, You guys get married to work. But you guys, if you guys gonna drink while you're under my roof, if you think you guys can buy that bottle, you gotta put a roof over your head first. Buying the bottle same time. You can't do it in my under my roof. But long as you're staying under my roof, I don't want you to touch that bottle. But I was trying to tell my boy that the one we lost. No, he just never listened.
He didn't have his own place yet that time?
Oh, he had his own place. He was married too. He left 3 kids behind. Yeah, he built a place while he was working at the school here. He had guys working for him. And my other son now, he's got a house down there, this side of his place too. His wife is living in there. My daughter got a house there too. So they got all their houses now, but just keeping my grandchildren and my couple of my daughters yet. I got just one son in the house now. He's working, trying to work. And I tell him, that's why I keep bawling him out. Not bawling him out, I tell him to leave all the time, at least about half hour, because you got your breakdown, you have to walk. You can't depend on that motorbike all the time. You gotta have trouble. So if you leave here at least 20 minutes or 15 minutes, maybe we might have trouble or on the way back. You think if you're getting late, you can run there. But don't leave right at 5 minutes or at the time, straight up and down at 8 o'clock. You cannot do that, I told him. You gotta be there ahead of time. And get organized, I told him.
So the grandchildren you're raising now, are some of those James?
No, this is all just kids, just out of my girls. He's there. James, his wife is taking care of them. She's raising them. Well, the oldest one is about, he's in grade 2 now, I guess. Boy, and the second girl, I guess, the second one will start grade 1 next year, next fall. But the youngest one, though, he wouldn't even be in kindergarten next year. I don't think he'll even start kindergarten. He was just about when his father died, he was just about 2 or 3 weeks old or a month old, something like that. That was the youngest one. Yeah, every time he goes to the wheel, he's drinking beer, drinking beer, drinking beer. And this was 4th of July. 4th of July just happened, you know. That's the day to start up the wheels that evening. So they were baseball going. I told me and Patricia, we went down. I told them, well, we'll start up the wheels. And I told their sisters, tell James not to go down because we know he was drinking. We'll start up his wheels. We'll forget about his wheels. Go down till midnight tonight. Let him sleep. No, he just went down. I guess that was just his day to go, I guess. And so it was just a choppy weather that evening too. And start raining. Everything was just coming up choppy. And where we crossed down here at 9 Mile, it was choppy there in that town. Then that Larry had a big boat, you know. He had a big iron boat. Boy, that guy, he really helped us with that boat. He shirts him too after. That's a hard working guy, that guy. He hauled fish from down here 4 miles, sell fish all day, and then go back. Hardly get any sleep down there, you know, stays up as late as he can stay up with me. And I tell him, well, you got a haul fish, and then he gets up around 5 o'clock. But gee, I was glad to have him around, you know. He shirts, boy, that guy loaned us. He even tore his tent down to loan it to me down there at my camp. To sleep in, stuff like that, you know, and taking turns. And boy, he was really nice, that guy. We sure appreciated him.
Steve?
Yeah, Steve.
Well, you know, all the drinking, you know, among young people, you think they pressure each other to do it? Sometimes they drink even if they don't want them.
Well, I didn't know that part, you know. I never go around them teenagers hardly, you know. So it seems like if it's a party, like if there's going to be a party, that's the most popular thing going to go on first, is drinking. Now, it's so close up here. Now, they could maybe go up there sober. That booze wouldn't run away from them, you know. It'll be there, even no matter how slow they go, it'll still get there and come back sober and start drinking on the beach where somebody can watch them, you know, watch each other's. But no, they just, as soon as they get in the back of the boat, you just got to start showing off, you know, showing off with the boats or anything. Them days. Now there's a trooper here, I don't know, he went, Leonard Stickman Jr., went for training for trooper. And I hope that kind of slow them down a little bit, you know, to protect them, you know. Seems like if now there are too many guys making money now, making too much money now, you see that it wouldn't slow them down. They'll just go right ahead drinking.
Is there a, did they pass a law in Nulato about drinking here?
They never had a vote or anything on it yet. They did in Caltech.
Yeah.
They're pretty strict with it. You know, that's the thing that should be done here too. You know, I'm all for that too. That'll like kind of slow them down. Well, it'll never slow them down, but you know, they'll kind of look twice before they start flashing bottles around, you know. Maybe like a few times when I, noon hour or sometimes I go uptown, and there'll be somebody walking down, staggering down, and they might have a bottle. Well, there'll be a sober guy coming. Hey, buddy, I have a drink. Well, the guy will take a drink. Well, that's get him started then, right there, you see. No, like if they that in Caltech, they don't flash that booze around like that. Maybe that would help a little bit, you know, but they just don't organize that there. Down there, the priests really work with them, you know. He really works on them, Father Sebastian. You know that place there, he really do a lot of things for them there. You know, he try to hold that booze down. Well, this, not too long ago, in April or sometime. No, there was a gal here, Patricia's cousin, my wife's cousin, brother's kid came up. Two girls came up, two teenager girls, Lorraine McGinty. We were watching TV at 8 o'clock. Yeah, it was just about this time, 10 minutes after 8. We were in the house watching TV, and the kids went to the movie. All the girls just left the house, and we were sitting down watching TV. And here, we heard a snow machine came out there, and somebody knocked. We thought somebody coming, but here was two girls with light jackets, just cold. And Patricia's son, his cousin, there, he told him, "What you doing in light jacket there, Lorraine, when it's so cold?" "Oh, I just came up to visit you, auntie," he told Patricia, my wife. "And that's the way you came up all the way from Caltech?" He said, "No, we undressed down there in Adolf's house. That's my son's house." So Patricia jumped up and he said, "Well, I'll make you coffee." But they kept looking at the time. Seems like they weren't drinking, you know. They were, I don't know what they were. But I didn't pay attention. Patricia started. But the girl said, "No, auntie, I don't want no coffee. I'll go visit this other girl back here, Judy. Demosky, that's Stanley's wife. She's from Caltech. So he wanted to visit her, I guess." So we didn't hear snow machine took off or nothing. So we thought, they said they'll be right back pretty quick. So we started again sitting down, watching a movie. 10 minutes, and then 10 o'clock, last chance close at night in the winter, you know. But they kept looking at that time. They wanted to get up the last chance before it's closed. And they didn't want to tell his aunt. Person we heard, just the girls came home from the movie. We heard Snow Machine came out there again. Somebody knocked. And here was that girl with him, came in. They told Martina. Martina just came out from the show. Martina, Lorraine wanted to see you out here. So Martina grabbed a sweater and threw it over her shoulder and ran out. Ran out of the house. She came right back in. He said, gee, Lorraine is drunk out there. They got Pampers and everything in the toboggan. They must have went to last chance. And Patricia said, what do you get with them then? Well, they said they're going down to Adolf. They're going to stay overnight down there. Okay, fine. Well, he said, fine. So they must have went down there. And 6 o'clock in the morning, Adolf said they were ready to go. Still drunk. Never slept. I don't think they slept. 9 miles down here, the girl passed out. The girl that was with them didn't know. Both of them was drunk, sitting down behind the snow machine. We don't know what happened. They got to Caltech 12 o'clock. So what happened? We don't know what happened. The girl had just a light coat on, even lighter than this. Just curled up into the toboggan, and the girl was hauling him dead. And the girl didn't even know the girl passed away. And somebody, some older guy, Brooke Semekin, was coming up from Caltech, going to Galena for the carnival, something like that, yeah, carnival. And his whole back was just shown, well, a light jacket, and he was just curled up. And the guy took off his parkie and put the parkie over her to try to make it down to Caltech right away before it's too cold, she might catch cold. Well, the guy didn't check her. He thought he asked the girl when she went to sleep her up down here at 9 Mile. About 6 hours underway. I don't know what happened, taking them that long. When they brought her down there and he stopped in here in front of his sister's house, he brought him in. The kids, I guess, must have brought him in. Put her down in the house. Maybe an hour or half hour after that, he kept checking on him. The girl was just like the way they put her, never even moved. He started checking her, and the girl was dead. And here the girl didn't even know how to drive a snow machine. See, look at that. Oh, that booze there. And the girl had all kind of booze in her little pack sack. They brought her in for autopsy. Nobody don't know what happened then, right now yet. See, that booze just killing them young. And this girl had 5 kids, left 5 little kids behind. And the oldest one is about that big. I don't know how old he is. But left 5 kids behind, this girl. And see, we don't know. Here after, so it leaked out, they said they didn't know how long they were drinking. They didn't know how long they were drinking. They didn't know what they were all drinking. And when we went down for the funeral, when they got through with the autopsy, we brought them in, and the wife, we went down, that's his brother's kids, you know, so we went down for the funeral, and he started asking his brother, see if he heard anything, what the autopsy came out on. He said, no, never heard yet. And don't you try to find out, he told his brother. He said, yeah, but he said, it's not come back yet. But he said, the way he heard, like, is alcohol poisoned. See, so you don't know what they were drinking all that time, you know, before they were. This girl that was with him told somebody that they were drinking for I don't know how long. So they just ran out of what they were drinking, I guess. So they just had to come up and get some more booze. So that poor girl just left 5 kids behind. The little kids are just orphaned. Now they had no father or nothing.
hard on families.
Huh? Yeah. Pretty bad. Yeah.
That must have been the time that we saw you down there at Caltech.
Yeah, 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 that's the time. Yeah, that's, we were there for the funeral then, yeah. Yeah, we stayed, the day they brought her back, they brought her down, that's when we went down for the funeral. And, well, she, every time she comes up to here for fun or anything, she always stops with her aunt, you know, she stops in the house. She drinks all right, but if she's drunk, she'll never come back into the house because her aunt didn't like the drinking people around the house, you know, and she knows it. Till she, next morning, till she's halfway sober up, then she'll come back in the house. And then she'll sleep in the house. Till she's sober up, you know, not raised king or talking or anything. But like, if she think that she can handle it himself, herself, she'll come in the house and go to bed without saying anything. But like, if she couldn't handle herself, then she'll go pass out in her friend's place where she have to party. But that's why she didn't want to come in the house when she came back from last chance, see? But that they kept looking at the time, like 10 o'clock. They had to make it up there before 10, before they got any booster, you see. If they got there maybe 5-10 minutes after 10, they would have never got nothing. They would have made that run from all the way from Caltech. And they wasn't even dressed for the weather. It was cold. Like the way when this old guy came up from Caltech, he said his whole back was just out. And then he had to took off his parka to cover him 7 miles above Caltech. And that's long way, 7 miles above Caltech. And just bouncing all over the toboggan, you know.
How many miles is it, Caltech?
36 miles by the river. That's by the trail, you know. And that's laying in that toboggan, you're not, you don't feel comfortable, you know. You can bounce and bounce all over, and you think that you're driving slow, but, you know, little humps like that. That toboggan, every little hump, it's got to, you got to bounce. And I don't think he's laying, he had his head on anything, probably just a box, and that was it. That's Pastor Oscar Hall, I guess, that he had his head on.
And that jacket she had was just...
Jacket, yeah, just a summer jacket. Not even lining like this inside. The way when she came into the house, and her aunt got kind of funny. And this, you know, they just went right to the stove and just laying right over the stove. Like, and we didn't know they were drinking. We were watching a movie and she was knitting and she didn't pay attention. But what made us funny, you know, is she turned the coffee down and everything. They just kept looking towards the wall, looking at the time. They just went right on. Then, like the way I said, you see, now they could have taken it easy, not to make a pick out of themselves. From, as soon as they leave, they start, but must have been just gargling that booze down, you know. And now somebody followed them. When they heard the news, somebody, my daughter and his boyfriend took off from here to Caltech, see them kids. And they was between here and 9 Mile, wherever that girl passed out, there was 3 empty pint bottles there on the trail. So that's how much booze that they gargled down in just in that short while. And he said, you see the scene where anybody puking up like that. You know? Well, yeah, I guess they must be just drinking. It's like water must be taking too much and they just couldn't hold it down. And when we asked Adolf, they said he left 6 o'clock in the morning. They told him to wait for a while till the sun comes up, but no, he just wanted to leave. So he just let them go and left. So that, you see, they were sobered when they went through the house. But when my daughter ran out to see this girl, she was just drunk. So that's how much booze they gargled down between her 12 miles and here, just coming back. That's foolish like that, you know, just to get drunk and don't know what you're doing. That's where you lose your control. Gee, Christmas. Yeah.
And I wonder if sometimes people don't just wonder about those people that speak out about drinking, like maybe they shouldn't talk so much or something. Or do they appreciate it? Like people go, yeah, that's right. And they want people to speak out.
Well, now, you see, nowadays, these young generations that's coming up, you can't tell them nothing. Because they think they know everything after they graduate from the school, but they're wrong. They don't know nothing after they leave the school. I don't think they even know what they learned in the school after they leave the school here. Alcohol and that dope getting them, you see? Just losing their brains right now. Like a lot of pregnant women losing their newborn babies nowadays. And I'm kind of dope, smoking dope, drinking alcohol together, see? I heard a lot of them saying that. It's all dope works. Losing their babies, have a meningitis or something. It's all that dope. Now, long ago, early days, I used to hear my mother, old people talking. They used to have been tough, not like now. They even used to have babies on the trail the way I used to hear them. Next day they're out on the trail. You talk to some of these people, they'll tell you about it. I heard, sat down a lot of times to where I can hear them old people talking. Now these generations that's grown up, they laugh at the old people that's talking. They laugh at them. You can. Now, right now, I couldn't even tell my kids anything. What I used to, how we were raised, how I was born, and how hard time we used to have. I told them, no, you kids are glory. You're on a gravy train. You guys are just get anything you want on the table. You guys are just living it up. But you guys have too much education. And I bet you, all these guys in here, all the good schooling you guys have, we never let that in schoolings. Now you guys get out of 12th grade, you go to college, and some of you go to college, come home, forget about all that work you guys did. All that good schooling. You guys never try to make a use of it, I tell you. You guys might talk smart. You guys might talk smart, and that's about all you guys will do. Talk smart. But you guys got nothing in the brains. You guys not using it, I told them a lot of times. And it's right. I see that. A lot of these kids don't using their brains right.
Does that kind of make older people mad at them?
Yeah, it sure makes them kind of old people upset, you know. Well, we didn't have the schooling like they had nowadays. Now there's people, you know, Canada cheese, all that stuff, you know. Jobs, education, people got to have a job first, they say. No, they don't look for jobs. They just, like now the job is gone. If people drinks every weekend, making good money. No, this is their chance to make a few bucks right now, this summer. All kind of job in here. There's McKinney, PHS, school right here, dirt movers, all kind of jobs right here. Now there's McKinney's. I don't know how many guys they hired. Lay them off, or they just, what I'm thinking, I bet you them people, they don't think like that. They're testing them out. They're testing them out how they're going to work, how they're working. Because they're going to get through with this job, you know. It's costing them a lot of money to run the job there. That's what I tell my son. That they're paying you 20 bucks an hour. You've got to show your work, not to go back there with hangover. Don't worry about the other people that's going back there with hangover. No, that's their headaches. If they can handle that booze, they can go to work. Not to hang over. They got Saturday night to drink and Sunday to be sober all day. No work that day. That's the day to get over your hangover. All day. That's what I tell them. But no, people, no, they don't think like that. They've had too much education and they think they're smart. They know everything.
Are there some of them who seem to be doing all right and really trying and listen to?
Well, very seldom, very few guys that wants to learn, I guess. Now, these guys back, if I was working there, I would learn a lot of stuff that I wouldn't know back there. And this is a good project for them young generations to learn to be a carpenter, to learn how to build a house. There's a lot of projects that they can learn right there if they're interested in it. Not to go there with hangover or thinking of, well, I'm going to do this tonight. I'm going to have a few drinks. No, they cannot think like that. They can learn a lot of things back there, what they're doing right now, you know. That's what burns me up.
Especially when you look at yourself when you were that age. You were working already.
Yeah. Well, we had to work for a living then, you know. We didn't have that kind of a easy, all machine work, you know. Lifting everything heavy for them and everything right now. Now, these young kids here, nowadays, they're looking for a job. Well, they got to do that for themselves later on, building a house. And that's a good job for them to learn. But no, they just want to fool around. Like pipeline, when the pipeline came in, I was working at the school here. There was a gal came down here, taking severe of the people. I had the experience out in the oil camp, drilling site already. And he was trying to talk me into going up the slope. That's the kind of guys we want. And I told him, hey, that pipeline going to be true. Once it's true, it's done. And then I told him, and he said, yeah, but look at the money you're going to make. I told him, yeah, I'll make a lot of money. But the school will be still going. After the pipeline is done and I'm learning things and I know a few things that I already learned there and I'm learning more about everything what I do because I'm trying to be interested in it and I'm very careful what I'm doing and because I didn't have very much schooling and I want to learn what I'm doing at home. Well, he said, you've got the experience of the oil camp, how it's been going on. I told him, yeah, but I don't want to go up. I don't want to just walk off my job, I told him. Well, he said, oh, come on. And he was trying to coax me. I told him, no, I didn't even fill out the application for it.
Well, the schooling that you had, was that here in Nolato?
Here, right here in Nolato.
Was that mission school?
Yeah, Catholic school.
What was that school like?
Well, we were packed like a sardine in that school. We had one nun to about 40, 50 kids. Tell you, in fact, we had two-story building when I first started. There was, I don't know how many grades down there, and there was another one up there in the smaller grades. That's how packed we were. And we had one nun apiece. And at that time, my mother and we were cutting wood. They were cutting wood for the store. We couldn't even afford to eat lunch at home. So I had to eat lunch at sister's place. They were cooking it. They had a cook and everything there anyway. What you get a bowl of soup for lunch and boy, you eat just like a, I don't know what that bowl of soup would mean a lot to you at that time. Because my mother wasn't home. She even cooked us a lunch. And if we do go home, we had to chew dry fish or something. That's about it.
Would she be out working?
Yeah, working or checking snares for a rabbit or trying to get something to eat. See, that's how hard it was. And nowadays, the kids just, like I went to some other schools. Boy, them kids eat just like restaurants, better than restaurants. Like this winter, we went to Koyuk. I went over with the kids. And we were stayed there 2 nights. One of them kids eats just like a better than restaurant. Man, them kids, how surprising to the meal they were serving us there.
And was it school lunches?
Yeah, school lunches. Man, the way the kids eat over there, it just reminds me of I don't know what. And then I met a guy there that works at the school. He said that he had a hard time too, and he's working there every year, he said. And he don't like to lose his job, he said, because it was too hard for him when he was getting raised too, he said. And so he just got to keep working, he said. And that's the way he tell his kids that too, he said. Now he say he go up in the school and see them kids eating every day, how good they eat, you know. And this guy said the same thing, just like the way I said. He said, now this young generations, they think they get out of high school, go to college for a while, they think they know everything. You can't tell them nothing. But he said that we're still no better than them. We know better than them lots. Like you take them out in the sticks, right? Now these kids right here, the young generation, you tell them to go out in the sticks, get these poles or something like that. They wouldn't know what to do. No. They wouldn't know what poles to get for wheel or anything. Because they don't interest in it. See, that's how, like long ago, if they tell us, hey, you kids, get poles for wheel, they'll show us once. And we got to get those kind of poles. No, the kids nowadays, they'll sit on the bank when there'll be all kinds of wood drifting by here. They wouldn't try to tow it in. No. They'd want to do it in the winter time. Like last fall, I was trying to get 5 quarts of wood. I was offering $100 a quart. Landed right on the beach. And you think anybody would have got it for me? No, nobody would get it for even $100 a quart. No, see, that's how things, how easy it is. You can just see it, how easy it is right today. Compared to long ago. Boy, I wish for them. Now, them days, now stuff is so high. Gas and stuff like that is so high, $2.63 a gallon. And you think that slowed them down running around with snow machines? No. They can drink, buy booze for a week, and they can run up glass chance, run around all the night. And $2.63 a gallon wouldn't even stop. Here I order my gas, my propane, and lucky if I run around weekend to look at my sets to try to catch one or two more. Boy, oh man. I tell my kids that too. I told them, boy, you guys have it too easy. You just go right into the gas house there, you pull up your snow machine, run around. You guys run around all night. You guys got to put the stop to that. But they still take my gas. But I... 2 barrels I had left. I told them, now, you guys, I got to put a stop to this. You guys just cannot just run there and fill up your snow machines. No, no way, no more of that stuff. I'm paying for the gas, and you guys not paying for it. You guys got to think. You guys got to stop thinking to slow them machines down. That's how we got small machines. Can't afford to run them big snow machines, you know. Can't afford to. At $2.63 a gallon, $143 a barrel of gas back there at the depot. That's quite a bit. But it still don't slow them down. See, that's really hurt.
And they don't work together to get the gas
yeah. machine. Well, you see, like nowadays too, you see, they go, some few boys. Now, like the way I heard the other day, lucky, all the girls went over there last summer, a couple of years. Now, I just got one daughter going back from here. That's only the daughter that stuck it out all the way through. Yeah, to the cannery, chicken. Well, when they leave, I tell them, you girls, don't ever quit a job. Don't ever quit. If you see them other girls quitting, don't say, well, I'm going to quit too. No. I never let quit a job. You never did see me quit a job at no time, I told him. Or I never did get fired on the job, I told him. So you guys got to try to be like that. Don't mind another guy, that's what he's doing. If he wants to quit, let him quit. That's his own shoe. But you're working for yourselves. You've got to keep going. Tell you're laid off, or they tell you, well, we're through with you. You go home, we'll send you home. That's fine. But while the job is on, well, you say you want to quit. What you going to make at home? Nothing. A bunch of them quit last year. Now they all want to go back now, but the boss, no going back for them. Now, there's few boys, same way I talked to this foreman, his resident, right, Ivan Cipri, he's right in here. He said he had a lot of problem with some boys over there drinking booze, paying $20, $40 a pint. When I was a foreman over there, that's what they were paying. $50, $100 a fifth. No kidding. That's what they were paying, them fishermen. Well, they make a lot of money, you know. But $100 a fifth don't mean a thing to them. And he said, this boy's trying to do that. They are trying to pay $25, $30 a pint from the Filipinos. And he had quite a few problems with quite a few boys. Now, just a couple of the boys are going back from here now. Now, after they worked over there, maybe 2 months, draw unemployment all winter. Maybe it ain't much, but they draw a few bucks in a week. And they lose all that again. That time I used to go over there, that's the same trouble I used to have. When I started picking up boys in the spring, even when Pinder kneel down to me, they'll say, they'll never quit. They'll never quit a job if you hire them. Quite a few times I felt sorry for a couple of married guys. I rehired them, brought them over there. After 1 month, you start talking about coming home. Hey, I tell them, you guys promised me to work. You'll forget about the home till the job ends. No, we got this same story over and over. So they get the whole fight together, and then they start talking about it. One time we're going full swing, and then a bull driver never showed up for work. I had to run back to the bunkhouse. Hey, you going to go to work? No, I quit. I swore at him. I don't know how many times did I tell you the truth. I swore at him. I told him I felt so sorry for you, and I hired you right back, and I brought you down here. And you promised me not to quit, and you turned me down like that. And the guy went over to Anchorage and got rolled to Anchorage when he got to Anchorage. I don't know how long he stayed there. Season was close. We came home. Guy was still gone. When he came back, he had a face this long. No money. Boy, I bawled him out right there. And his wife jumped me. I told him he's his own boss. I didn't fire him. He just walked off the job and he just went to Anchorage. That's where he wound up. He felt, oh, I don't know, I felt sorry for his wife. But that's the same story as every year. But I feel sorry for a lot of these guys. You know, they got a good job right at home where they can make enough money to buy themselves snow machines and everything, what they need for next winter. It'll take them a couple of weeks just to make a snow machine payment right there, pay for the whole snow machine. Now they're cheap. Now in the summer, if they're smart, they can get one right now. Now they don't have to pull wood on their neck next winter. But no, they got to drink every Saturday night. Boy, I feel sorry for them.
For the fishing, is the foreman, is it important for the foreman to get a crew that's going to stay?
That's why, you see, he's hiring guys. He was hiring guys just right and left for the beginning of the work. I guess he's testing them out, you know, how do you work, and how do you doing, and everything like that. But some guys he hire, maybe he worked them maybe 3-4 hours, and he laid them off. Well, you see, he just keep checking them out like that. And I told my son when he first got hired, I told him, don't fool around with another kid. If the kid is on, just forget about him. It's like you just don't know him. Just don't start talking and playing. Because that boss there, he's checking on you guys. And he's going to start picking from right from the bottom up, I told him. That's the way he's doing. You see, he hire a bunch of guys, make them work maybe 3-4 hours, lay them off. Lay them off. Now he's got about, I don't know how many men on the job now. Just picked out guys.
So your son's